Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
To praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to be back. And I want to thank you all for your prayers, because Wednesday night I was really sick and never thought I'd be able to make it to Lincoln, Nebraska. But with a few ounces of steroids and a lot of prayers, I could at least breathe, and our dear Lord allowed me to go to that wonderful city called Lincoln, Nebraska. And there were a great crowd there. We talked about God. What else could you talk about? Huh? And we talked about life and pro-life. And there is, as you know, a very wonderful bishop there, Bishop Bruskovitz. And he was such a gentleman. And I know you've heard a lot about Bishop Bruskovitz. But he's a very gentle man, a real bishop of the church, and very gentle and very funny. He took me over for breakfast. I know you like to hear what I do on weekends. And so he, before we left, he drove us to the airport, so he took his mother, 90 years old, and she made breakfast. Her and her daughter made breakfast. She's a Franciscan nun, so we were talking at table, and he said to me, "Do you know my mother says to me every so often?" I said, "What?" He said, "She looks at me and she says, 'I don't care if you are a bishop, take out the garbage.'" Oh, that was the funniest thing I ever heard. And she was laughing and he was laughing. So I want to thank tonight all the people, the bishop and the staff and the chancery and all of Lincoln, Nebraska, for your kindness, your goodness, your faith, which was edifying to the people with me. And the fact that you hang in there, I think that's very important. I learned a few things in the last few weeks. It kind of disheartened me a little bit. That there are many people who, in the past year or so, for whatever reason, refuse to admit God as Father. And I feel very bad about that. You know, they just can't say Son and Holy Spirit. There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And although I really don't have in my heart a concept of a father, I had a father, obviously. But since my parents were divorced when I was six, I don't have the reality of having had a father. I met him 6-7 times, but that's different, I would think or hope. So all these years, you know, I've had a little hard time relating to God as Father. Because I don't have that reality. And I remember years ago, I was in the hospital. Do you mind if I chit-chat a little bit? Okay. I had to go to the hospital for something, and I was at the end of the hall. There was nobody there but me. And I walked in that room, and I knew there was something different about that room. There was a kind of silence that I had never felt before or realized before. And I thought, well, this is, you know, I could feel the presence of God. And so I wrote a book while I was in that hospital called The Father's Splendor. It's on his attributes. And that was the first time I started to think of God as Father. And then later on, no, that was called His Silent Presence. That was it. Then later on, I wanted a book for our Jewish friends. So they consider God Father, but in a different way. And so the Lord gave me a book called The Father's Splendor, which is on all the attributes. But even then, you know, I learned a lot about the Father. I understood a little bit about his fatherhood, his creative powers, his omnipotence and omnipresence, all these wonderful things he is. But I could never quite understand Father, you know what I mean? And until maybe a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, in reading the scriptures, especially from the 13th to 17th chapter of John, the Lord is constantly talking about his Father. And then he said to Mary Magdalene, I go to see my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And then I think, you know, I'm 75, and I thought, Lord, I'll never catch up if I don't get moving here. I began to realize that God is Father. And that's why our dear Lord said, call no man your father, because it is the Father who created with my, decided I would be, breathe the soul into my tiny little thing there. And so I call him Father. Now we call priests Father, of course, because they represent the Lord to us. See, they are his priests. They're the ones that bring down the Lord to us, see? So we call them Father because they are spiritual fathers to us. They lead us to God. And so tonight I wanted to share, if there are people who have a hard time for whatever reason calling God Father, whether your father was abusive or whatever, maybe together tonight we can just look at our dear Lord as Father. You know, we have the parable, you know, of the prodigal son. And aren't we all, huh? Aren't we all prodigal children? We just go around wasting a lot of our time. I'm going to take that a little bit tonight. But most of all, I just want to go through some of the passages. Somebody remind me to talk about St. Michael. Only costs $1.50. just to make you understand that we should never be afraid of the Father. He is so good to us. So good. Now, there were two sons, as you know, and the one said, let me have the share of the estate. And the father divided it. See, I wouldn't have divided it. I'd say, get lost. Yeah, this little squirt wants a half. He wants his share of the estate. What are you talking about? You nuts or something? It's my reaction. I just want you to know the difference, you know, between me and the father. I would have said, hey, split. If you don't like it here, get lost, you know. But thank God, that's not the case. Now, a few days later, the younger son got together everything he had. You can tell, you know, you can see him packing up his clothes and getting his little bags together and his camel or horse, whatever they had in those days. And off he goes with a bundle of money. And you spend it all. That's not hard to understand. Buy a few camels here and a few drinks there and a few more drinks, and then they're the success of the whole party, and you're going buying food for everybody, and the first thing you know, finished. Well, he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. Now, you wouldn't know anything about that, you know? We don't have debauchery today. We have insanity today. We're past the debauchery stage. And the bad part about that, you know, nobody even cares. We don't have scandal anymore. Do you notice that? There is no scandal. People in high office can do some pretty terrible things. And we don't even care. I mean, we say, well, he's a man. Well, I hope he's a man. I wouldn't know what else he'd be. He looks like a man. You know, and we just take for granted that we're part animal, part spiritual, and we're mostly animals, so let's just accept it. If you accept the animal part only, you're going to act like a dog. So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me that we don't use our soul, our mind, given to us in God's image and likeness, and we act like animals. And the bad part of this, we are no longer scandalized. You tell me the last time you have experienced a good scandal. You expect the worst from everybody. See, we're not surprised. Not surprised. Abortion years and years ago would have been a horror. And we're not even surprised. Say, oh, what's that? A clinic. Oh, yeah. That's where they kill babies. Oh, really? It's nothing, see? And I'm wondering, you know, the last couple of days since I came home from Nebraska, I'm wondering if that's what's reason we don't have fear of the Lord. Because God, we don't know God as Father. We don't have any fear of offending Him. I don't mind servile fear. I don't mean the fear they're scared to death. If that kind of fear saves you from hell, hey, it's better than nothing. But the fear we're supposed to have of the Father is, I love you, Father. You created me. You're so good to me. I don't want to hurt you, see? It's the kind of parental love your kids should have for your parents. If you had that kind of love for your parents, you'd never offend them. You never would disobey. Why? Because you don't want to hurt them. See, we don't have that anymore. We just don't care for anybody. And so the prodigal son lost what? Fear of the Lord. He lost fear of his father. Well, now there was a famine and he began to feel the pinch. I like that thing, the pinch. He began to feel more than a pinch. So what's he do? He hires himself to one of the local inhabitants to feed the pigs. I mean, our Lord could not have said anything worse than a little Jewish boy feeding pigs. I mean, that was the insult of insults. Well, he would willingly have filled his belly with the husk of the pigs, but no one offered him anything. Now here's a boy that was very generous with his friends. Bought him drinks and lived a debauchery life and had all this so-called fun, and now he nobody even give him a husk from a pigsty. Now he's coming to his senses. Isn't that something? We have to go down that low. Some of you are there now and you don't even know it. You're so low that you don't even know how bad you are. You're so used to swimming in the mud and the muck that you don't know you're there anymore. Well, wake up, buddy, because if the Lord comes, you're not ready. So, oh, he's not coming. Well, I don't think he'd want to come looking at you the way you are. So he came to his senses. And he said to himself, how many of my father's paid servants have more food than they want? Here I am dying of hunger. Now this is the first time this kid thought he was stupid. If you don't come to that conclusion sometime, you're not alive. And you're not honest either. See, did you know he had to get down that low before he got honest? Isn't that funny? Some of us cannot admit truth until we just fall flat on our faces. So what's he do? He said, I'm going to leave this place and go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. Ah, he is getting smart. I mean, he's admitting truth. See how truth gives you light? Truth always gives light. Lies give more darkness. See, he was lying to himself before. I'm going to have me a good time. I'm going to spend my life on this farm. Then he had to suffer. Yes, that's the way it goes. Then he came to his senses. Now he's got light. Okay, so now what? I'll tell him I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as to one of your paid servants. He just wanted to be a servant. So while he was a long way off, now this is important. Every day, that father looked down the road to see if his son was coming back. Do you look down the road for your children? Even though it may seem hopeless and helpless, even though they may say a lot of nasty things to you, are you looking down the road? Are you looking for him to repent, to come back? Well, while he's still a long way off, the father saw him and was moved with pity. Are you moved with pity if your kids come home? Or are you angry? Are you angry? He was moved with pity. And the boy ran up to him, and the father kissed him tenderly. And he said, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I don't deserve to be called your son. But the father said, no, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast. Why? Why does the father so rejoice when you come back as a sinner, one who has left him entirely, given yourself to the world, the flesh, and the devil? Why do all of the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner? One sinner. Repents. Just one. Can you imagine the choirs of angels going, hallelujah, and everybody jumping up and down because you came home? But that's what happens. One who was lost came back. It's awesome how the Father loves you. Well, they began to celebrate. Here comes the old elder son. Oh, I think most of you are on his side. I haven't talked to this parable to anybody that everybody was on the side of this little boy. And he's getting around the night. He hears music and dancing, and he says, "What's going on?" This is my rendition now, so don't look for this in Scripture. I had my own rendition at the talk the other night in Nebraska, and this woman came up to me. She said, "Have you thought of putting your own rendition of Scripture in a book?" I said, I said, "Oh, goodness, no." She said, "I find it very interesting." I said, "Yeah, yeah, so do I." Oh, dear Lord, can you imagine the flack I get for that? He said, "Your brother's come home." You know, that servant so excited, his tummy's full of good, whatever it was they were eating, and he's drinking his wine, and he's saying, "Oh, your brother's home, tra-la-la." Oh, he was not a happy traveler. He was angry, and he wouldn't go in. He might be stomping his feet out there and walking around, and he's angry, and he's mad, and he's thinking all kind of thoughts against his father, his brother, the servants. Here comes the father. Oh, golly, poor guy. You know, it's hard to be good. There's always somebody yelling at you if you're good. There, the father's all happy, and he said, his father came out to plead with him. And what's he say? "Look, all these years I've slaved for you. Never once disobeyed your orders." Oh boy, quite a guy. "Yeah, you never offered me so much as a kid to celebrate with my friends." Y'all agree with that? They don't want to say so. I think most people on this guy's side. But this son of yours, oh boy, he don't even say "for my brother." This son of yours, when he comes back after swallowing up your property, oh boy. You know what it shows me? That all the time this other boy was gone, he was envious. He was really wishing he was out there in debauchery instead of on that field. I'll make a bet. And when he looked at his brother, he said, "Look at that. He had all that fun, and now he's back home, got the same reward." You ever think that way? Yeah. But do you know what else he was afraid of? I think he thought now he's going to get half of his inheritance also. See, he'd walk away with 2/3. With all his debauchery added in, and then he'd walk away with 1/3 working like a dog. We call that natural reasoning. There's nothing at all supernatural about it. He and his women. See, I told you. By golly, that was it. When he comes back after swallowing up your property, he and his women, you kill a fatted calf. I wonder what the difference was with the one who was debauchering and the one who wished he was debauchering. I don't think there's any difference. One was afraid to leave, but it was all here. The other one left, he learned something, came back. The father said, "My son," that gentle he was, "you are with me always, and all I have is yours." He didn't lose anything. "It was only right we should celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and came to life. He was lost and was found." See, that's the father. I wish I had the words. I wish I had the vocabulary, the heart, maybe, the mind, to explain the father. Father. And this in the chapters of St. John, beginning with 13, 14, our dear Lord is constantly talking about the Father. He said, there are many rooms in my Father's mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. Isn't that awesome, huh? There are many degrees of glory, many degrees of light, many degrees of happiness and joy. You and I cannot fathom in this life. He said, I would have told you if it weren't true. Why don't we believe it then, huh? Why don't we believe it? He said, no one can come to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you know my Father. You know, that's all he talked about, is the Father. How can some of you out there not even acknowledge the Father's existence when you refuse to say, Father? You're in grave danger. Grave danger. Well, he says, I am in the Father. Oh, here's Philip. You know, the apostles were strange sometimes. The Lord says he's going to go. And what does Philip say? Is Philip worried about it? Does Philip say, oh, Lord, don't go. Stay with us. I mean, what do we do without you? You're everything to us. What does Philip say? Oh, that's okay, Lord. You know, let us see the Father. We'll be okay. If you want to go, it's all right. You go. And our Lord looks at him with unbelieving eyes. He said, Philip, now listen to what I'm going to say. He said, Philip, have I been with you all this time? And you still don't know me? Isn't that awesome? To have seen me is to have seen the Father. See? It's the Father, Jesus is the mind of the Father. And the love between him is the Spirit. There's three persons, one God. And he keeps saying, I am in the Father and the Father's in me. It is the Father living in me that does all this work, and I am in him and he is in me. So if I look at Jesus, I see the Father. He said, I'm going to the Father and he will send you another advocate. And this chapters of St. John's, and this is something that we don't understand because we don't think about it, we don't meditate, we're so full of things and people and events and hatreds and likes and dislikes. I mean, we go around like a merry-go-round. He says, on that day, you will understand that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. That's what baptism did for you and me. I would like you, maybe this week, to just apologize to the Father. Would you do that? Because so many people don't love him anymore. Don't even think of him as Father. Oh, he's great and he's creator and you want to shake in your boots, just read the Old Testament. That'd shake you up. But you had to do that, you know, to straighten him out. But the Father sent Jesus on his own. Jesus said, I didn't come because I wanted to. I came because I was sent by the Father to save you, to save you. And so you and I think he'd be pleased if every so often you would say, Father, I'm sorry there are so many people who no longer love you or no longer adore you, who have lost their way, don't want to be with you forever. I think it's so sad, you know? so sad that we've gotten to that point in life, in our lack of faith and hope and love, that we don't want a Father in heaven. Something wrong, huh? Very wrong. That I don't want a Father in heaven. See? Now, our dear Lord says later on, my Father is the vine dresser. A vine dresser. Whatever branch doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. That's what we're, I think that's why we're afraid of the Father, because he cuts us off. If it's a dead branch, you do that on a tree. You cut off a dead branch. And here's something that he says in the 15th chapter of John, as the Father loved me, I love you. Now, let's listen what that says. As the eternal Father loves his Son Jesus. That's an infinite love. We can't even imagine that. All human love is sometime disappointing. It's not there when you want it. It's not there when you need it so often. It changes. It's fickle. But God's love is always there, always faithful, always ready to help, always ready to forgive, always compassionate. And he has asked you and I to love like he loves. But if I get up in the morning, I would like to think that the Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Whoa, Kelly. How can you be lonely? How can you be lonely? The Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You got to think of those things. You just can't pass it by and say, oh, yeah, the Father loves me. That's the same. Now, let's see what else it says down here. It doesn't get time to sink in your head. See, we'd never be lonely. Never. So all through this, he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. Isn't that something? You're not a Catholic, you're not a Christian on your own. Oh, say, yeah, I got a bright light one day. Oh, come on. God gave you that bright light. You don't have a bright light, a light on your own. Mm-mm. We go astray. Now, he said, everything I learned from my Father, I taught you. Everything. You see, my friends, we have a Father in heaven. And I think the fact that I have not the recollection of a Father, I think I have a deep appreciation now for the Father in heaven. Who's always there, who is always kind, always loving, ready to forgive, ready, if I just ask him, ready to forget, and ready to pile grace upon grace upon grace, because he loves me. And some of you have committed grave sins, like abortion. Would you think tonight of coming back to God as your Father? Would you think of maybe going to confession and saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I'm sorry? Would you think about it tonight? Maybe go in the morning? Those of you who have hurt others by committing adultery and leaving your wives because maybe they have cancer and you don't want to bother, could you look at the Father tonight and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against heaven and you. Forgive me. If you're not a faithful spouse, a faithful child, a faithful wife, would you think tonight of saying, Father, forgive me? I have sinned against heaven and you. Bring me home. Make me do it right. He is our Father, and we have to be very simple with the Holy One. And Jesus merited all that for you and me. I can say Father and mean it, because he lives in me. I'm not the best in the world. I have many faults and weaknesses and imperfection and a good hot Italian temper. I try. I make it a lot of times. Sometimes I don't. But I have a Father, you see, that I can go to and say, I'm sorry. I have a confessor, too. It doesn't hurt. But then there are times when little things happen that you have no reason to pop off or whatever. I have a Father. I can say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. And I think if you have a problem saying I'm sorry to your neighbor, you probably have a big problem saying I'm sorry to the Father. So let's think of the Father. I'd like you this week to just apologize to him for all the people in the world. Many don't know him. Many don't want to know him. And many don't no longer want to know him. And I think if we just all said, you know, I'm sorry, Father, for all those people, and please keep me safe in your heart, that I may never deny thee. Never. We have a call. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, where are you from?
Massachusetts.
Wonderful. What's your question?
Well, my grandma died September 29th, and, my father is also emotionally abusing me and my mother.
Yeah.
And I want you to pray for him and to forgive him and pray for my mom and I.
I will. How old are you, sweetheart?
9.
No, I'm sorry.
I'll be 10 October 20th.
I'll pray for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's sad, huh? Well, sweetheart, you need to pray for your dad because he doesn't understand what he's doing, you see. What you do to the least, our dear Lord said, you do to him, huh? I know it's hard for you to love your father. Because he's abusive. He's also scared, I imagine, and weak. So he picks on people that can't fight back. See? Women are special objects of men who are weak. They couldn't fight a man. They get beaten up. But they fight women that can't fight back. It's a sickness. But I'm glad you're praying for him. And I will pray for him too. But what you need to do, sweetheart, is just pray to Our Lady and ask Our Lady to help your dad understand what he's doing. And be very kind to your mother. Try to make up in love and obedience and prayer what she lacks from your dad. And I think together, Lord, he'll help you somehow. But don't get discouraged. Keep going to Jesus. Go to Jesus. I used to do that a lot. I'd forget after everything was over, but still, you can go to Jesus. And say the Our Father from the bottom of your heart. Then we have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother. My name is Christine, and I'm from Boston.
Okay.
And about 4 years ago, I realized I had been away completely from church, and I went back to my Protestant church and realized I came to a deeper faith and needed to heal my image of Father. And I started to pray a small prayer to God the Father that he would heal my image of him, not what I wanted him to be, but who he really was. And never in my wildest imagination did I ever think that that prayer would bring me to the threshold of the Catholic Church. And I was received.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was received into the Catholic Church on May 6th this year,
and
being away for 30 years.
Oh,
and I just want to thank you for your prayers and your admonishment to go to Mary and to
thank
say the
you.
Rosary. And I'm so, so grateful to be back at table.
Well, you got an image of the Father, see? That's what he did. You ask him for an image of the Father. And I think some of you may have a hard time praying to an image of the Father. We just don't have in the church. I hope there's a feast day one day just for the Father. You know, there's some kind of a movement on for that purpose. But see, the Father's Lord, Creator, he's omnipotent, omnipresent. He's, well, it's everything, and Jesus is everything too, but it's such an awesome thought. It, like one of my sisters hurts her head when she starts thinking of the omnipotence of God. That's okay, because we should rejoice that our Father is so great. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from South Philadelphia.
Yeah, oh, great. There's Philadelphia people here.
Yes. And we miss you here.
Oh, thank you.
And we were sort of wondering how to get some pepperoni or some sausage down to you.
Well, let me tell you how you do it. You go to the store.
Okay.
And you buy about 6 of these long pepperonis. And you wrap them up and put them in a box and mail them.
I just want them to be fresh when they get to you, sister.
I know. That's the best. Are you from South Philly?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's the place to be.
Oh, yes. Very much.
Is there a Holy Spirit church there yet?
There is a Holy Spirit. We're from St. Monica's, but there is a Holy Spirit.
Yeah, when I was there, it was so crowded, the floor was going this way.
Sister, you are loved.
And what's your question? I didn't want to distract you.
No, that's okay. My question, sister, is, well, actually, it's a comment, sort of, I think. Me and my two little brothers had an abusive mom as opposed to a father. It was my father who struggled. And for many, many years, being the only girl, I felt like I had to take care of my brothers.
Yeah.
And my mother rejected us, abandoned us, and we basically starved. And it took me many, many years, even after I got married, to forgive. My relationship with my husband and my children were very strained, and I have to honestly say that my husband suffered a lot because of my anger. And then when I felt that Jesus and Mary wanted me to come back to them, I kept being inspired to please come back to forgive my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, for darn, I can't do that. I'll try. Let's see what happens. Mother, it did work. Mm-hmm. I forgave my mother. I prayed for her. I even sent to Immaculate Conception masses in her name. Mm-hmm. She is alive, but I feel that her and I cannot have a relationship because of my residual feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But I love my mother. I have forgiven my mother, and as the Our Father says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel closer to Jesus and so much closer to Our Lady that I belong to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to the Holy Face of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, honey, it's true. Many times you forgive, but the person doesn't want to be forgiven. See? But it's important that you forgive. And it's important to pray for that person. Do good to them if the occasion arises. And that's what our Lord called love. See? So you do love your mother. And pray for her. So you don't know what may have happened to her. See? We just don't. I'm appalled sometimes at the things that some women go through and men too, in their early life, and it gets very difficult, see? And so it takes a lot of prayer, but a lot of trust in God, see? If God forgives you in confession, then you have to forgive yourself. You can't go on carrying this load on you all the time. And I'm glad you did. See, that's a special grace from the Lord that you could forgive. And you did. You did. Some people, the most charitable thing you can do for them is stay away from them. I mean, that's the truth. Because they get mad looking at you. They do. See? So stay away. Don't aggravate them. I mean, you can't make people love you. I mean, that's impossible. You can't make them like you either. But you don't need that. If I know God is my Father and He loves me, and Jesus loves me, and the Spirit loves me, and Our Lady is my mother, who else do I want? Now, I like all of you that love me, but those who don't, I don't care. I don't cry over it. I feel sorry you don't love me. I love you. But I never see you, so. Somehow that didn't come out right. See? If I saw you, maybe I'd love you. Maybe you'd love me if you saw me. Most people don't like me, have never seen me. They never have. Except on the TV. You don't know what a person is off TV, so you can't hate, you can't love or hate anybody on TV. That's stupid, because you never get to know them. See? So don't worry about anybody who doesn't love you. And I'm very happy. I think it's a big grace you need to thank Our Lady for, that you were able to forget, and you have. Now the fact that you just can't be buddy buddy friends, I don't worry about that. Purgatory is going to take care of all of that. And if it doesn't, the lower region won't matter. That's the simplicity of it all. There is a purgatory. And all the sincere people, like all the rest of us, who want to be good, who want to be holy, and don't make it, you got another chance. You won't get any more merit. Your glory in heaven won't increase. You know, I've always wanted to shoot an arrow into a bull's eye. Not a bull, but a, you know, one of these. I just have to be careful what I say. But I never could. But they say you got to aim high. Is that right? You aim high in the hope you make the center, huh? Well, you know, we all want to have a perfect bullseye when we die, but it's okay. If you don't make it, there's a nice little warm purgatory that I find a big consolation. Because the first thing you're going to say when you get there is, I made it. You know, you can't offend God anymore. You don't have to worry about being saved anymore. You don't have no gas, electric, telephone. You have nobody bugging you to death. You know, no virtue to practice. You don't have to hold your tongue, bite your tongue, count to 10 anymore. I mean, there's just nothing there but you and a little fire and God. I mean, I think it's awesome. It's awesome. Because we here on this in this life never think of heaven. We're scared to death of it. Nobody wants to die. You know, and the old Italians in my home when I was a kid, my grandfather was dying all the time. I mean, he just was like that, you know. He didn't really die, but you thought he was dying all the time. But he never let us call a priest because he was sure he'd die when he walked in the room, and he'd give him the last sacrament. Last sacrament, what's the last sacrament? I said, Grandpa, he's just going to bless you. No, no, I'll die. That's where you're going to die anyway. Italian families are different, you know, because they, oh, he wouldn't. I said, Grandpa, why don't you, we'll call the priest. Ah, I don't need a priest. Okay, okay. But see, we're so afraid of death. But you know, I think living is a fearful thing too. You know, I don't think death is the, we're just kind of guilty, I think, but we have a Father who loves us. And the least sign of repentance, he just goes overboard, like this Father. So I want you to look at God in a new way, huh? A way of a child to a real Father. A Father who loves and forgives, is so thoughtful, so very thoughtful, and does things for all of us that we don't even realize that he does. Don't realize. A lot of the graces you receive, the light you receive, the protection you receive, is all God's hidden ways of saying, I love you. And so tonight I would like you to look at God the Father. This is his year. And I would like you to say the prayer every day. I think in this day and age, we need to say the prayer of St. Michael. And I'll send it to you. It's got nice cellophane on it, and it'll last a long time. It says, St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. And be our protection against the wickedness, snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Say that every day. It's in the back of this beautiful little leaflet. It's a down and a half. And it costs about 50 cents. I really need the money. I really do. You know, donations have gone down since the hurricane. I don't know what the hurricane has to do with it because it didn't hit the whole nation. Didn't even hit New Orleans, I don't think. So if you're still suffering from the hurricane that didn't hit you, would you consider, please, putting us between your gas and electric? Please don't send me your gas and electric bill. Some people have sent me their gas and electric bill, and I don't know what to do with it. You know? But please, you know, donations have gone down, and as you know, we can't afford that. Because you're the only ones we have, and I just want you to know that, and that somehow you can increase your donation, or some you've never given. Who was it that sold his pizza company for $1 billion? I don't get a hold of him. But it's not the wealthy who keep a thing like this going, it's always the poor. The wealthy give much when the Lord inspires them and they're good. Without some of the wealthy, we wouldn't exist. Equipment wouldn't be here. So everybody has a part to play. So if you haven't played your part in this network, but only sat there listening, well, then at least pray for us to see God the Father more clearly. And all of you that have called tonight, even though we didn't get to you, your intentions are in all the sisters' prayers. And let us pray for our country. It is in dire need of purification. It is beyond, I think, beyond the time it can turn around on its own. It is far past that moment. And so let us pray for our country, for our president, for Congress, that they have more courage, more strength to be men of God. So tomorrow, Steve Wood is going to join us to discuss the Father and fatherhood. And so remember, we're always here for you. And please remember your intentions. We're glad to pray for them. You can send us your letters and your problems, and our sisters open the mail, every one of them. That's all our sisters do. They open mail for you, and they pray and pray and pray. So we have a good opportunity now to make reparation this week. And write to us, will you? Write to us, and don't forget this prayer. It's very important that this nation and the Catholics in this nation say this prayer. Because if we don't, I hate to see what's going to happen next. I love you, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye now.